you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Make sure you subscribe to Clock and Talk at Castbox FM. We're also going to be on iTunes very shortly. Tonight we have Tony. How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad, given present circumstances, I suppose.
And we got Carl with us. How are you, Carl?
I'm all right, yeah.
You're all right, mate.
Can be said.
Yeah. And Savvy, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm good.
Right, I was going to try and get some negatives out of the way, boys, and then hopefully get to a positive on a Liverpool victory. But that didn't happen. So anyway, we'll battle through and see how we go. Well, let's kick it off. Liverpool Arsenal. My thoughts are Salah and Mane, they basically ran all over us, and it just shows me on how far we're actually behind the rest in the top four teams. What do you take of the game, Tony?
Well, I mean, look, it's obvious there is not a single positive from the game. Even like one of the things that hasn't come out, but I think is a massive underlying problem, is there is no leader. Like, we was getting torn one-on-one on the flanks every time, which is why Salah and Mane look so good. They are good players, but we gave them a platform to perform on. And there was no one on the pitch or from the dugout. But I mean, my main issue for that is on the pitch that had the in-game sense to think we need extra numbers here. We need to drag someone back. We need to sit in for 10 minutes. It was just a shit show from the start. Players not wanting to be there, which is pretty evident. There is literally no positives. There is so many things. One thing I'll get out of the way because I forgot to say it on my recording last night is I've seen people blaming individual players, like, oh, Ozil did this or Welbeck did this. There is not a single player that was above a 5 out of 10. So I think digging out players is a very, very weak response. Like saying, oh, Ozil created nothing. You're right, he didn't, but Koscielny didn't defend, or Xhaka didn't do anything, or you could name every player and say they didn't do anything. So I think digging individual players out is quite a weak response, which I have seen quite a lot of. But yeah, that's the most positive thing you've got to say about the game is there wasn't one bad player, there was 11. It tells you how the game went.
Carl, just on the game, mate, what was your thoughts on the lineup?
I think it was going to be, it was going to be a disaster from the start, really. You've got this idea of the disjointed defence that's been there since, pre-season, where we put Mohamed Elneny in centre-back and all that. But the fact that you've got pretty much the most potent front three in the Premier League and you're putting, a right wing, a right back, a left wing back against one of those players, whether it be Salah or Mane, both of them were tearing them up a new, new arsehole, really. But I just thought, as Tony said, there was no real leader. Koscielny just came back into the team. He didn't really show any leadership qualities. The midfield was woeful. Ramsey didn't do anything. Happy went off at half-time. He could have gone off even earlier. But, and then obviously the attack, no one was getting service, and rightly so. There was literally no one there that actually, cared.
Yeah, it makes it really hard. Savvy, what was your take on it, mate?
I think from the start, we were not up for the game. It looked like we were not ready for the game. And the lineup, as Carl and Tony said, Hector Bellerin is playing at left wing back. And then Rob Holding, we all know he's very young, and he just had a horrible game against Leicester. And he was back there again. When I saw the lineup, I already knew Rob Holding is going to struggle in this game because they have got great pace, Liverpool, up front. And we were really struggling against them, started so badly. When we started the game in the first 10 minutes, we could tell that Liverpool are the better team because we were playing like a mid-table team, defending and just defending. Nothing really. Nobody was up for the game. Nobody, I think, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, even Alexis Sanchez doesn't want to play for us. So what's the use, and why did our management put them in the starting 11? That's the main question. I think management needs to be questioned, and I don't know what the decisions were made. It was really horrible.
Look, before we move on, can I just make one point on the lineup?
Yeah, go, Tony.
So Everyone before the game was all negative about the lineup. Before the game even started, Twitter was full of, oh, we've got no chance. What's he doing? He's a senile old man. He don't know what he's doing. While a lot of that may be true, has no one stopped to realise that it was the exact same starting 11 from the FA Cup final instead of Koscielny in for Mertesacker, who we would all agree is better, and Cech in for Ospina, which was the biggest criticism of the FA Cup final, was that Cech wasn't playing. So there is, like...
Yeah, I'm just going to add on that, though. My main gripe with that, though, is you pay all this money for a Lacazette, but yet you start Welbeck in front of him.
Yeah, I don't agree it was the right lineup, but when people were saying, oh, before the game, I knew we had no chance, we never had any chance of that, no one said that before, and they definitely never said that after the FA Cup final, when it was the exact same team, but weaker.
Yeah, but I think there was a difference, because we had two players now who don't want to play for the club, like this, Alexis Sanchez and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, and it was very
evident. Sanchez hasn't wanted to play for Arsenal since last January.
Yeah, that's right. So I
think it's one extra player.
Yeah, we should have benched them, at least benched them. Play someone who wants to play
Sanchez
for the back.
Every time he didn't want to play, he'd have made about 12 appearances last season. The guy doesn't want to be at the club. Everyone's known that for a long time. The first two contract, I mean, it's getting onto another subject, but the first two contract renewals that we offered him, he hasn't even responded to them. They are still waiting. They're unread emails, essentially.
Well, since we're on Sanchez, let's touch on it. Heavily linked to City. Is he, you know, he doesn't want to be there. Every media report says he doesn't want to be there. Sanchez hasn't said he doesn't want to be there, has he? Or have I missed something? Wenger turns around and says he's staying this season. What's your thoughts? Is he going? Is he staying?
For me, I think he's staying just because of the amount of time left in the window. I don't think he's not going to do what Chamberlain done and completely not turn up and sulk. He will still try for professional pride. He wasn't very good yesterday, but I don't think you could accuse him of a lack of effort. So I personally think we can afford to hold on to him because he will still try. It's not like an empty body in the squad. And obviously, Chamberlain's going to go within the next couple of days. Mustafi looks like he's going to be out. We've still got to get rid of Perez, Debushi and Gibbs. And I think it's too many outs if you take him out and then trying to replace them. With any form of quality is not going to be possible. In 4 days, we're not going to get six outs and, for example, four ins. It's not going to happen. So where he's not going to kick up a fuss and strike and sulk, I think we will keep him. If he was the only player in that position, he would probably go, but he's not. So
he'll cop it on the chin, play the season, leave for free next year. Your thoughts are.
That's my feeling on it. That's not from anyone I've spoke to at the club. Obviously, I know a few people, but to be honest, they were confident he was going to sign 2 weeks ago, and I've never thought he was. Yeah, just my personal opinion on it is that that's what will happen.
Carl?
Mm-hmm.
Sanchez, mate. Do you want him at the club, I suppose? He's the type of player that I've heard of getting a few others offside. I don't know what truth's in that. Do you want to keep a player that doesn't really want to be there? I hear PSG, and it's just once again speculation, PSG are looking at Draxler, Sanchez, something like that. Do you say, oh, yeah, let's take it or not?
I think the only feasible option if Arsenal wants to move ahead as a football club is... If Sanchez goes, you need to get, you know, it's like for like. You know, you can't just take the money and be like, oh, let me get someone from the second tier of French league football as a replacement. Like, they need to get someone that is, as I say, like for Sanchez. As in my personal opinion, want him to go. If he doesn't want to be at a club, then is he going to give 100%? I mean, he looked like it wasn't... You couldn't say that he didn't give 100% on the field yesterday. He only just came back into the team, so I can't really judge. But, yeah, if he doesn't want to be at the club, I'd let him go, to be honest.
Yeah, okay. You want to add anything, Savvy?
Yeah, I just want to say, I think we can't question his lack of effort, but his attitude sometimes, it's questionable. Because I think the way he acts on the field, it lets the other players down. That's the only issue with him. Otherwise, he's a great player. I think we will never get a like for him because he's too good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, mate, I don't know. It's one of them hard ones, isn't it? And I think Tony mentioned it last week when we talked about it. The problem we're going to have is if he leaves next year for free, whoever we go for, add 10, 20 million on, and I don't know whether it'll be as good as Sanchez anyway. Okay, moving on from Sanchez. We caught the Wenger's press conference before the Liverpool game, so I'm going back last week. Lamar, the deal's dead. Tony?
Absolute nonsense. If he wants him, he can get him. If he wanted to buy him within the next 10 minutes, he could go and do it. What he should have said, well, what he meant is, I don't want to pay the money for him, which is fair enough. If he would have said that, then other clubs would have known the easiest way to fend off Arsenal was to raise their price. But so that's why he's not said that. But he said, Monaco have closed the door. They haven't closed the door. The door is the same amount of open as it's always been. Walk through that door with 60 million and Lamar becomes your player. It's as simple as that. I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't spend 60 million on him. But him saying the deal is dead is to try and protect himself from inflated fees elsewhere.
I had a look at a couple of things with Lamar, and I think you said it was 30 million, went to 40 million, a couple of people, now it's at 60 million. And I had a look at Dembele, just went to Barcelona for 100, and I'm getting off track a bit, but 135 million. Surely Lamar has to be worth 60 million.
That's a dangerous slope, though. If you go on someone that's been massively overpriced and they're also just paying for potential, like, anyone is worth anything if you're weighing them on that scale. You can look at the other end of the scale and think for someone who's gone really cheap. Like, I can't think of anyone off the top of my head, but there's always one transfer when you think sort of, wow, how have you got in for that? And that makes no one worth anything. So that's just on depending on what end of the scale you're looking at. For me, Lamar's not worth 60 million. I don't care what you, on the individual basis, I don't care what anyone else has been for. On an individual basis, Lamar is not a 60 million pound footballer. He could grow to be, but you're taking a massive chance on that.
It's an inflated market, really, isn't it? Massively.
Oh, yeah, it's hugely inflated.
Yeah. Carl, on the press conference, he was asked, did you see the press conference?
I saw the transcript.
Mate, he was asked the question about Mustafi, and he didn't comment on it. He was almost brushed it under the carpet. Do you think at that press conference he knew that Mustafi was, you know, he was heading out of the club? And speculation says he's going on loan to Milan, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, so what was your thoughts on that?
Well, we know Wenger, he always speaks in riddles and cryptic messages. I think what we can see here is, I don't know if you can say that Wenger's lost faith in Mustafi or whatever, but there's definitely something there that involves either a price tag or a loan move. The fact that he hasn't commented on it and he isn't outright saying no, it's kind of telling from Wenger that Mustafi is, you know, he's got the potential of leaving Inter Milan. If it was a loan move, I wouldn't mind it. But at the moment, going off track, my opinions on Mustafi, I don't think he's good enough for the club. So loan move could be right.
And the buyout clause at the end, I think what I read, I'm not sure on what it is.
You want me to fill that in?
Go for it, mate, please.
All right, so the deal was that the loan agreement was agreed on Friday. The only stumbling block is they want an option to buy. So basically they're hedging their bets. If he's shit, they don't have to pay for him. Arsenal were saying, no, we want a, you have to buy. Because basically they're trying to get around financial fair play. So they want, that's why they're doing an initial loan. It's not that they actually want him on loan. But they're trying to hedge their bets in case they're shit. But Arsenal are trying to do an obligation to buy, much like Kylian Mbappe was going to go to PSG with. So that's what's happening there. Also, there is the loan fee. I'm not sure how much that is. They're going to pay all of his wages, which is obviously another one off the wage bill. And the fee that Arsenal are trying to make them pay at the end of the year will recoup 75% plus of what we paid for him. We may have to drop that a tiny bit if we make it an obligation to buy rather than an option to buy, because then they're tied into it. But the deal was all agreed on Friday. Well, the loan side of it is just the technicalities to arrange. Now, that's not to mean it's 100% going to go through, but it is very, very close.
Well, where has it come from? Like, what's triggered all this? all of a sudden.
He, I mean, he's gone on record. He wasn't happy in London before. Not in London, sorry, in England before. And he went to Italy and loved it. He was at Sampdoria and he loved it in Italy. He quite liked Spain. And I think he thought, oh, I'll go back to England now when the chance came. Obviously on more wages than he's ever earned before. And thought, obviously, London's a better city than Liverpool. I'm an older, more mature man. And there's quite a lot of Germans at Arsenal. Obviously, Özil, Mertesacker. So I think he thought he'd be all right, but he's never settled. So he's had the same problems he had when he was at Everton when he was 19. So, yeah, it's pretty much just come from that. And as well, it's quite hard to settle when he's been injured a bit. He's not sort of 100% guaranteed first choice, so you never really feel comfortable. So if he has had problems settling the city or the country as a whole, and then the football side of things, he's not also completely settled. It's never, and you never know about the missus, like the girlfriend or wife, whatever he's got situation, because as we all know, if you've got someone nagging you at home, you're never going to be comfortable. So if she's used to the heat of Italy or Spain, and suddenly she's sitting in 4 degrees in London and she's nagging him about that every day, I'm here because of you, blah blah blah.
And I read she's, you know, pregnant. I exactly read she's pregnant as well, isn't she, or something? Karen, or a baby, or something.
I have no idea. I don't even know if he's got a wife or a missus, but I know usually when players are unsettled, family has a big part to do with it.
Savvy, Van Dijk. What's your thoughts? You know, Mustafi goes, Van Dijk, 60 million. I know he wants Champions League. From what, you know, and Liverpool are red hot favourites to secure his signature, but they look like spending a few dollars on other players that I was reading earlier tonight. What's your thoughts, mate?
No, I think we desperately need a centre-back because we already needed a centre-back and now two are going out. So we desperately need a centre-back and Van Dijk definitely fits the bill. And he's a really solid centre-back. And I think to beat Liverpool to this transfer, we'll need to pay a little more because I think Liverpool are ready to spend the money and we, as we all know, we don't spend much. So offer him higher wages to make him come here.
Make him
That's
come
all. I think we need him. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just, and this, you know, we go into our next subject on the stat DNA that I'll get Tony to explain. But just quickly, Carl, if we don't get a Van Dijk, does Wenger go to his little stat DNA machine and, you know, he looks at a centre-back and next minute we've got some desperado boy like Mustafi was last season?
No, you get Mohamed El Neny.
So El Neny covers straight in.
Well, you've got to talk to Wenger about that, but, you know, stranger things have happened.
So just on the stat DNA, Tony, you want to explain? Well, there's been a couple of tweets on that people have asked. Can we explain on a bit about it?
Yeah, just before I get into that, I'll just very quickly go over the Van Dijk situation. Savvy saying offering more money, that's not going to come into it. Southampton want to deal with us and not Liverpool. The player would prefer Liverpool over us. So the money's not going to come into it. If Southampton accept the bid from Liverpool, it doesn't matter what we offer, he's going there. If they don't accept the bid from Liverpool, then we're in with a good shout. I just thought I'd cover that quickly because I've gone over it before. So I don't want our message to change.
Yep.
On Stat DNA. Essentially, I don't know if any of you have seen Moneyball, the film, or heard of the system. It is a way that basically it's a computer that automatically inputs all stats or all relevant stats. And the way it was used in baseball is people were spending millions on players that hit home runs. I don't really know much about baseball, but I know the theory on it. They're spending millions on players that hit home runs when they basically figured out that if your player gets to first base every time, every player will score a run because obviously you'll just keep going around one base at a time.
Yep.
So the theory was, rather than spend millions on a guy that can smash a ball 100 miles, spend a couple of hundred thousand on a guy that's just going to get you to first base. It doesn't look impressive, but it gets the same result at the end of the day.
As a unit.
The football basis is a little bit different. It does still use a lot of stats, obviously the name Stat DNA for a reason. But it looks at, it doesn't really go into finance so much, the football model. It just looks at, so you put in sort of attributes that you want and it will come up with, obviously it's got the data input of pretty much probably every player in the world above a certain level. So you look into the computer and say, I want a defender who is strong in the air, relatively quick, blah, blah, blah. And the computer will throw up players at you, and it will go it with the most cost effective. Because, for example, you could put in, I want a number 10 who can do this or that. And the first option might be David Silva, who could be, say, 100 million just for it to put a number in there. And then there may be an option 4 down the line who is maybe 5% less effective, but only costs 10 million. So the computer will do that for you. So what's happened with that's what's happened. So basically, Wenger wanted Manolas last year. Manolas from the Greek guy from Roma.
Roma.
But the Arsenal have got big board issues, big issues with Roma. We've had very, very tough negotiations with them in the past, and they don't really like dealing with each other. And then the stat DNA option was Mustafi. We also, again, if you look at, Wenger tried to sign Vardy, that wasn't anything to do with stat DNA. He wanted Vardy, he'd scouted him, he knew him well. That didn't go through. So one of the options on the stat DNA was Lucas Perez, and you can kind of see that in style. Elneny, I don't know, I can't remember that far back to know who the target was at the time, but Wenger always prefers to go over, his argument is, he can see more than stats can tell you. And I think as fans, we'd all agree with that. As much as we love to bash Wenger, I would argue that you could watch him, football is always better than what numbers tell you. So every time he's used that DNA, he has tried to go with his own option first. And it's either the board can't get the deal done, he can't get the deal done, the player's not available. And then we've ended up with a budget, not so much a budget version, but another version. So yeah, that's pretty much what stat DNA does. It doesn't look into funds as much as it does in baseball. But obviously they do come into it.
Now, Lucas Perez, look, we've got a couple of days left of this window, and I'm still gobsmacked at why he's there. But anyway, Lucas Perez, I think Gibbs was a part of the DNA stat.
Lucas Perez, Gabriel, Mustafi and Elneny are the four we've signed from it.
Okay, so we're looking at Mustafi going and Lucas Perez. Is that because of the stat DNA thing? You think, like, you know?
Well, I mean, they weren't. I don't think it's particularly because of that, but they weren't Wenger players. Wenger never handpicked them out as players he wanted. I mean, obviously he signed off on the deal, but they were all alternatives. None of them were first choice signings. And then, I mean, let's be honest, Lucas is a bit unfair. He's not really had a chance, but Mustafi hasn't been good enough. And I mean, there's a lot of people that tweet Clock and Talk, obviously, when I'm running it, telling me that Mustafi's one of the best in the league. And I just don't think these people watch football. He's not good enough. Yeah. I mean, whether he was Wenger's first choice and he was this bad, would Wenger still have sold him? Maybe not. He may have had more faith in him. But if it's a player you didn't really have faith in the first time and he's proved you right in the first season, we've always moaned about Arsenal not being ruthless enough. As soon as he has started being ruthless with players that he doesn't think is good enough, people want to get on his back with that as well. I tend to ignore a lot of media stuff around Arsenal because the media will have a go both ways. Like, he's not ruthless enough. He's kept such and such player for too long. Like, and that's a thing to stick to beat him with. And then when he is ruthless and gets rid of players very quickly after they've proven they're not good enough, that's also a stick to beat him with. So I think the media have not an agenda, but it sells stories, which is what they're there for. At the end of the day, they're there to sell content. And if they've got something to criticise, that's what gets the buyers.
If it's got an Arsenal headline, you guarantee you get a click. You know, if it's got a Spurs headline, no one's interested. Carl.
Well, no, that's not true. If you have a negative headline, it gets the Spurs clicks as well. Negative one. Yeah. Get all the football in.
Yeah, true. You know, you want to add anything on the stat DNA, Carl, or what's your thoughts on and things, mate?
I think I agree with Tony here about the fact that, you know, there's a lot of armchair fans that are, you know, they'd rather look at, you know, they wouldn't watch a game of football, yet they're quick to criticise because the media, they're like sheep, really. But, stat DNA isn't always the best thing because what you've got to consider as well is the league they're playing in. Mustafi might seem a very good defender because he's in the Spanish league, but how many difficult teams are there in the Spanish league bar, you know, the top three maybe? Atletico, Barca and Real, you know. I think it is better to, you know, I don't know about this stat DNA, to be honest. I mean, Arsenal bought it for about 2 million or whatever it was. I don't know how reliable it is. Obviously, it is reliable in the form of statistics, but when you want to judge a real feel of the player, especially if we're talking about, you know, the Wenger's type of player, then I don't know. I don't know if it's that useful.
Obviously, it's worked well for baseball, so they tried it in football. And our lovely owner, he's an American, so I'll try any, I suppose.
Our lovely owner.
I mean, what it is for? What it's used for?
I was being polite.
It's never used for primary targets. It's always used for. So the primary targets are always someone that's been identified because they've been seen and scouted and whatnot. Where it does come in quite useful is that, as I said, you can put in the attributes that that player's got, and if you can't get them, you can, in theory, get someone that's very similar. I don't think it works, to be honest, but I can see the merit in it, that if you identify a type of player you want, it will spit out that type of player. The stats have got so in detail. Like, in reality, no one would have scouted Lucas Perez, but it gave us a player with a similar profile to Jamie Vardy, who was our first choice.
It was out of the blue, Lucas Perez, wasn't it?
Yeah, as I said, they put in Vardy's attributes and he came up. And so, I mean, in a sense, you could argue that the computer done its job because you can see they are quite similar in style.
You want to add anything on it, Savvy? Or?
Yeah, I think it's not the right way to go through to get a player through StatDNA. We should be scouting them. And I think Wenger is still the best man to identify a great player. Because we've known this since many years. Wenger scouts the player and they mostly works. So I think this is not working, and four of these signings, none of them has been a hit. So I think we should move on from that and scout players, actually send the scouts and get them.
Now, I'm going to just move on to our board and Arsenal in general for a minute. We've had a whole transfer season to get this sorted. And I know the Liverpool game, we obviously seen weaknesses or didn't even see them turn up. How come it's taken so long to get this mess sorted? Like, 3 days to go left on the... Is it 3 days to go...
Thursday.
You know, 3 days to go on the transfer market. We've got players looking at leaving. We've got nobody looking at coming in. I don't know, lads. What's your thoughts here? Is it the board? Is it Wenger? Is it what is it?
In a nutshell, there's a huge split in the board and the club. Essentially, Gazidis wanted Wenger to go. He didn't feel like he was a man to take us forward. Kroenke completely ignored that because Wenger makes him money. Half the board wanted him to go. Half of the board wanted him to stay. They're not all pulling in the same direction. I know a lot of people want Wenger out, and I also don't think he's the right man for the job. But the problems are a hell of a lot deeper than the man sitting in the dugout.
Carl? What's your thoughts on the board and the situation, just in general, mate? Like, are we? Oh, yeah, you go.
The club. I don't know. It's, you know, it screams uncertainty through the board, right down to the team, right down to the manager, the players, everything. I don't know. It's all a bit of a shambles at the moment, to be honest. It's a bit disgraceful, the fact that, you know, we're supposed to be a top four team, and you know, we're this disjointed and this dysfunctional. It's
embarrassing.
Yeah, it's a disgrace. It's embarrassing. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it is. What was and how do they fix it? Like, where do they go from here? If a couple of players go, obviously he's going to have to get some in to replace these players that are gone, or does he look? Oxlade and Chamberlain, he looks like going. Does he give the young bloke Nelson a run, or does he look like replacing him?
You bring in Reece Nelson. I'd personally pay for Oxlade-Chamberlain's taxi fare to Chelsea. I don't want him at the club anymore, to be honest. You know, like I said earlier, Alexis Sanchez, if a player don't want to be here, then, you know, ship him off to, you know, the next destination he wants to go. I just can't be arsed with players that can't be arsed about the club.
Reece Nelson, yeah. he's 17, isn't he?
Yeah, 17.
Yeah.
So I've heard that Mahrez is type of hanging for somebody to take him away from Leicester. So you wouldn't look at Mahrez. You'd give Reece Nelson a go. Carl?
I don't know, because I feel like you always need two people each position at least, you know, for the squad depth. If you put Bellerin back in the position where he's supposed to be, then I'd say, yeah, just have Bellerin and Nelson in that sort of right-hand side position. I'd be fine with that. Mahrez, I don't know, especially from watching the Leicester game, it was like Mark Albrighton had a better game than him, and he's supposed to be the one that's worth about 40 million. So I don't know if I'd get Mahrez. If it were me,
I just wonder though.
The Arsenal ball can't do anything.
Yeah, I just wonder whether Mahrez is in a similar situation to Chamberlain and a few of our players. We looked at him not even trying on the weekend, and Tony wrapped it up pretty well, like the on his earlier podcast. But is he in a similar situation? He's not. He doesn't want to be there. His headspace wants to be going. He's looking at the window, going 3 days to go. Nobody's bidded. Nobody's taken me away. I don't know.
I've made my opinion very clear on Mahrez. I would have put the bid in about 10 minutes after the final whistle yesterday. If I was Arsenal manager, Mahrez would be an Arsenal player already. Since that final whistle yesterday, I'd have signed Riyad Mahrez by now.
Yeah, I agree totally. I didn't like Reece Nelson. I just think he's a great player for the future, but I think it's 17.
You're not going to get a season out of him. You're not going to get more than 30 games.
Yeah,
so, and we're gonna be in a 60 game season, give or take, with the Europa League. So, if you're not getting 30 games out of him, there's gonna need to be another body there.
Yeah, and that's why I'd be going straight. I agree with you, Tony. I'd be going straight for Mahrez. I would have signed him 10 minutes after the bell yesterday as well. Savvy, what's your thoughts on it all, mate?
Yeah, I think we'll need a player because Reece Nelson is very young. And Hector Bellerin, even he looks bad. So I think that is a worry position for our team, right back especially. And then we have squad depth, but we don't have much quality in the squad right now. So we'll need some players in. And I really think our club is in a mess right now. There's something going inside the club. I don't know, is it the board? It's Wenger, whatever it is. I think it needs some sorting because we really look in a mess and we really need to change this very quickly because we don't have time. Season has already started. So, yeah.
And here we are, three games in for 3 points.
Yeah.
Not good. Okay, just moving on. And this, I hate saying this because we're in Europa League, boys. What do you make of the draw during the week, Tony?
It's not the easiest of Europa League groups. It's never going to be the hardest group in the world in that competition. Some new places to visit, some new players to see. We've got the Lucas Podolski derby, as I would like to call it, with Cologne. What's his name? Hleb is at Barte, so he'll get a little run out at the Emirates again. So to be honest, there's not really much to think of it. The miles, the only thing that's annoying is there's quite a lot of miles involved. That's about it, really. You win your 3 home games, win one of the others, and bomb the rest of the games with anyone. I don't really care if 10-year-olds play. Just get through the group.
Are you looking forward to it, though?
I was talking about this on the way back yesterday, where we was also down, everyone that I travelled up with. We was also down. I was saying I'm actually looking forward to giving people that are sort of young and free a chance, like Reece Nelson. Like, he doesn't care about all the negativity. He's just going to go and try and take his chance and be positive and play football the way he knows how. And in the same sentence, Jack's going to get back in the team, and I cannot wait for that. I understand all the critics of Jack, but again, he plays freely and he plays for the badge on his chest. So I'm really actually like, I'm never going to be positive about being in Europa League. I didn't want to be in the first place, and I don't really care about it. But I am really excited to be on go to a match day and be excited.
Yep,
thinking, oh yeah, get, like there's a buzz. Give Reece the ball. Go on, take someone on. I don't care if he loses it. It's it's, as I said, it's being free and trying and trying to have a bit of fun with football.
Yeah.
And I think we'll see more players like that in the Europa League than a more rigid Premier League team, which is all about systems and styles and whatnot. Obviously, that plays a part of all of football, but I think there'll be more freedom to express themselves in the Europa League and have some fun with it. I think it could be a huge confidence booster, or it could go the other way, to be honest.
Carl, what's your thoughts on Europa League, mate?
I think I'll get a buzz as well, a buzz that will actually, you know, start winning games, you know, get up some momentum from actually winning a Europa League game against someone in Serbia. Like, pick it, you know, continue it into the Premier League, hopefully. But, yeah, I think it's I don't know, you can call it a good run out, I guess. You know, some of the fringe players as well. I wouldn't want Theo Walcott anywhere near the Premier League team at the moment, but yeah, give him a run out in the Europa League. I don't know if, what's it, Jeff Rennie-Adelaide has left the club on loan. I don't know if that's happened, but if he's still at the club, I'd like to see him get a run out. But yeah, it's all about testing out younger players, as Tony said. I think I'm quite looking forward to that prospect.
New Savvy, you looking forward to it, mate?
Yeah, I agree with Tony and Carlo here. Looking forward to it. And some of the players who won't get a chance in Premier League, we can see them in Europa League. And I think we'll go through that group. And the only issue would be the travelling. So yeah, give the players a run out in the Europa League. Really looking forward to it.
So over here, our odds are a little bit, I'm in Australia, but our odds are a little bit different. We're 8-1 favourite to win it over here. So I don't know what you guys are over there. But anyway, we'll see. Okay. What else we got? Now, I just want to talk about anything that caught your eye on the weekend, boys. Any other games that you looked and you thought, oh, that was a good game?
To be honest, I travelled up to Liverpool on Saturday so I could have one or two alcoholic beverages and watch the boxing. So I have seen no football apart from the Chelsea and Tottenham highlights on Match of the Day yesterday, Match of the Day 2 yesterday.
Yep.
So I haven't usually, where I'm covered all over football, where I was out and about, I've actually not really seen much. I watched the second half of United Leicester in watched it in Liverpool, but yeah, apart from that, it's I'm not going to be able to comment too much.
What about you, Carl?
I managed to watch Man City and Bournemouth. I think that was a good game. You know, I like the way Eddie Howe and that kind of, you know, his kind of relationship with his players and the way he keeps them, you know, he makes them look very good the way they play. Like,
I'm a fan of Eddie Howe as well. I thought that was a good game, you know, 2-1 to the City, but they scored in the dying last second, wasn't it, or something, so.
Yeah. It was after the time.
Yeah. Keep going.
I think they were robbed. They were robbed.
Yeah, that too.
You reckon, I should have got it. At least got the draw, mate, and took a point away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they deserved it. I think that they played their hearts out against Man City. Man City, you could have said maybe that, you know, they weren't playing their best on the day, but still, I think Bournemouth deserved that, and Man City robbed a win.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Savvy?
Yeah, as I was about to mention the game, City-Bournemouth, and I think it was a great game. Bournemouth really deserved a point, and I really liked Bournemouth, and I think City are same like the last season, and they are still struggling to finish off their chances, and I think they won't be title contenders, like for what I see, and I saw the United Leicester game. I think it was even in the first half, and then United dominated the most of second half. Then I saw the Chelsea-Everton game. I think it was a good game, but Chelsea dominated it. So yeah, our other title rivals are really doing good right now. So we need to pull up some socks and do well.
Yeah, I actually was spewing because I had watched pretty much all the games, but Newcastle United and West Ham. And I had a bet on West Ham because I thought they'll be okay, but you know, Newcastle were poor last week. I couldn't believe it, 3-0. You know, it was good to see Newcastle playing some good football, but I was
West Ham
shocked.
Are terrible. Oh, West Ham have been terrible this season.
That was a terrible game by West Ham. I was shocked. I think
Bilic has lost the dressing room over there. It looks like, and he's the bookmakers have made him the favorite to get the sack.
I hear he's going this weekend, isn't he, or something?
If you've got players like that at West Ham, you shouldn't be performing like that. You know, full stop. You've got the likes of Arnautovic. You've got Chicharito, he's done amazing, and by Leverkusen, yes, it might be a worse league than the Premier League, less competitive, but still, like you should be winning games. You should be, you know, defending better than you have been. Like,
he's got a good team.
Mm.
Definitely a good team. Just on the Everton situation, they still need a striker. 3 days to go. Any ideas, boys, on who that may be? I seen a link to Vardy. I don't know. What's your thoughts, Tony?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say before you mentioned Vardy, I think they need a bit of pace because they've got some technically very good footballers. Rooney, for all he's worth, is still technically a good footballer. He just can't run. Sigurdsson can run more than Rooney, but similarly, he isn't very quick. It looks like Kevin Morales is going to go, who obviously provided a bit of pace. They've obviously lost Delafeu and Lukaku from last year, who both offered pace. Barkley's got, obviously, you know, he doesn't look like he's going to play for them again. So again, there's no pace. They're losing a bit of pace that he has. So I think they need someone just to stretch the pitch a bit. I can't see Leicester letting go of Vardy. And I don't think, I say that Everton have got money, but I don't think they'd offer him what he's on at Leicester, because obviously he signed a new deal after they won the league.
It's £100 million a week or something, wasn't it?
£100,000 a week.
Yeah.
And there are links with Diego Costa too.
Who was that, Sebi?
Yeah, there are links with Diego Costa too.
If they sign Diego Costa, I will post a naked selfie every day for the rest of my life.
Well, that's a big call, but yeah. Actually, it does make
got
sense.
No,
I can't say it. What's your thoughts, Carl?
Yeah, I definitely agree that Everton need a pacey striker. They did very well with Lukaku. Lukaku kind of carried them when they were at Everton. They need another striker that will do that. But I don't know who'd come to Everton, to be honest.
Can I throw up a name and just let me know your thoughts? I really feel sorry for this player. He sat on that Manchester City bench doing absolutely nothing. Wilfred Bonny. Would they go for him?
I think last year at Stoke hurt him when he literally done nothing apart from gain weight. I think what they've done, what Everton have done quite well is last year, as Carl said, they were reliant on Lukaku for goals, even when he didn't play well. What they've done is they've used what is a system of Moneyball in that instead of trying to replace him with a guy that's going to get the same amount of goals, they've put guys in other positions that will get more goals. So whoever they bring in isn't going to need to match what Lukaku done for goals. So as I said, I think they need someone pacey to stretch the pitch, and I don't think Boney's that guy. He is more similar to Lukaku than many of the other targets. But as I said, I think they're actively trying to avoid replacing Lukaku with Lukaku Mark II.
He didn't have a good season.
I think
the
signing of Sandro showed that.
Yeah.
As I said, it is very difficult to put a name on it. I was surprised they didn't go for someone like Iheanacho, but then £25 million for him was probably a bit much. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head, because I'd imagine it'd be someone Premier League proven.
I've seen Leicester looking at getting Slimani, is it?
I think it could be Slimani.
Yeah, but
never mind,
he's too slow.
Yeah. I've heard Slimani being linked to, Monaco?
Monaco, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They just signed Jovetic today, so I'd be very surprised again, because they've still got Falcao, and Jovetic will just take up the Mbappe role.
Yeah, okay. Any girls you boys want to add on anything? Anything else, and we'll get into some followers. They had some questions for us, so if you want to add anything,
I'd add something on the Stoke West Brom game.
Yep.
You know, I watched that. I don't know why it literally screens boring, because they both, you know, they both played defensive. Yeah, you're seeing Johnny Evans in the stands. I know Johnny Evans isn't really Arsenal quality, but I'd actually take a chance on him, to be honest. But
he's second choice. Definitely. He's second choice behind Van Dijk
for Arsenal.
I'd sign them both.
Yeah. How much would you get him for?
Well, City offered 25 million earlier in the window. It got refused. And then Leicester, seeing that he didn't play yesterday, have reportedly offered 21 million today. I don't think they quite understand how the transfer market works. I think bids 30, north of 30 would probably take him, to be honest. But again, that's based on nothing. That's just
That's
just saying a number that's higher than 25, to be honest.
Okay, righto. Let's get into some questions, guys, and we'll wrap this up. We've gone for 45 minutes. So, Tony, straight to you, mate. From Indy Guna, did anything happen in the dressing room before kickoff?
Yes, and during half time. The details of which have not come out yet, but I expect them to come out. I don't know them. I'm not withholding anything. I expect them to come out because the way Wenger spoke about it was he said, I can't speak about it at this time. That would make me assume that it's something to do with Chamberlain, because obviously he knew Chamberlain would be off, or Mustafi. And I don't think he'll have any problem throwing someone under the bus. He has to do it to save the reputation of himself and the club. So if, say, Chamberlain caused a problem in the dressing room, I don't see why you wouldn't release that after he's gone. But yeah, there was definitely something going on by all accounts. The only report I've seen denying it, someone actually tweeted it to me, and I said, I'd like to see where that came from, because I think some people just don't like to give Wenger an excuse. They just want to pin all the blame for everything on him. Yep. So that's the only one report I've seen denying it. But when the person who tweeted that to us went to find it, it was someone that had never tweeted about football before. They was verified, but they'd never tweeted about football before, and they had about 10 followers.
Yeah, that's all right.
I don't, as I said, the details haven't come out, but I strongly, strongly believe from what I've heard that something did go down.
Watch this space. Something might come out this week.
I'd imagine so. As I said, I can't see why Wenger would protect the player, especially if they no longer play for the club. And it will, look, nothing's going to make us feel a whole lot better about yesterday, but it will at least give some context, and it will shift the blame somewhat, which is obviously very beneficial for the club. If instead of saying Wenger are shit, Arsenal are shit, Bellerin shit, if you go, for example, Chamberlain was a bit of a wanker, it shifts some of the blame.
Okay. Right, Errol, hopefully that answers that one. Carl, I've got one for you, mate, from Love Sharma. Some of these names. Okay. Oh, yeah. Why are we playing three at the back against Liverpool? Why are we playing back three against Liverpool when they attack from the flanks?
I don't know.
Tough one.
Is the answer to that question. You've got your wing backs, but, you know, if one of them doesn't really care and the other one doesn't know how to play a left wing back. So, yeah, I don't know how to answer that question, to be honest. I think three at the back at the end of the last season, it worked because we needed a change. But now I think, you know, the honeymoon period of the three at the back formation's over. So, you know, I really don't know why three at the back clearly isn't working now.
You think four at the back again?
Can I butt in? Yeah. I know the question was for Carl, but can I butt in a bit on that?
Absolutely, Tony. Yeah, go
on, mate. So this person tweets quite often. I've seen a lot of people say this, and it seems moronic. I actually agree with Carl that the honeymoon period is over three at the back. But when people say, oh, you know they're going to go down the flanks, why are you employing a back three or a back five? Well, it actually makes perfect sense, because if there's a four at the back and they beat the full back, then there's sort of two centre backs and one person in the box. Whereas with wing backs, if they beat the wing back, there's extra cover. This system is actually designed to stop teams attacking from the flanks. We just didn't play it very well.
The throw.
So
the
when people
is.
Go, oh, why did... Yeah, because, as I said, you assume they're going to beat their man, and then you've got your three in the back if there's three centre-backs, or if you're playing 4-4-2, you've only got two covering in the middle. So I've seen a few people say that, and I really don't quite get what they're on about, to be honest.
Yeah, it was...
But I do completely agree with Carl that the honeymoon period's over. We played players, one that, as Carl said, wasn't interested, the other one just isn't very good. Mm. But that comment, as I said, I've seen it a lot, and it really doesn't make sense to me, to be honest.
So if you had three that wanted to play, well, then it works well.
Well, it's more on the wing backs, because as I said, you're assuming on a bad day that they're going to get beat by their man. So Mane's going to beat Oxlade-Chamberlain, or Salah's going to beat Bellerin. But then you could say on Salah's side, Monreal could have came out to cover Salah, and you've still got two centre backs in there. Whereas in a four, if Salah beats his left back, then one of the centre back has to go out there, and then you've only got one centre back in the box. So the system is actually designed to stop teams attacking wide. We're just not very good at the system, is the truth of it.
Okay. One more question, boys, and I'll probably throw this to you, Tony, but Carl, you can chime in as well, mate, because I know this was... Tony also runs the Clock End Twitter account with myself, so, and it was probably on the back of your piece about, in your opinion, it's from Craig, in your opinion... What Arsenal players deserve to wear the Arsenal shirt?
That is a very, very tricky question to answer. Look, if you base it on yesterday, I mean, deserve is a very... Who deserves to wear anything is a never-ending question. I would go on more than who deserves to be at the club, who wants to be at the club, because for me, I would prefer... people that want to be there and will try their heart out and leave everything they have on the pitch, rather than someone who's maybe more gifted but literally has no interest. Like Chamberlain showed yesterday what someone with no interest can do. There's no doubt Chamberlain's a gifted player, but I would rather have played someone out of position. Like, say, for example, Coughlin. I would rather someone like Coughlin, who's going to try his heart out, is not very good and would even be uncomfortable at right wing back if you had to. I'm not saying he should ever play there, but you can't tell me someone like Coughlin wouldn't have done better than Oxlade-Chamberlain yesterday. A player that wants to be there, for me, I would always have over someone that doesn't want to be there. So I think the question of who deserves to be there is, I don't think it's one you can answer. Like, what criteria do you need to deserve to be anywhere? Do you need to be a good footballer? Let's be honest, most of them are very good footballers. I might say Bellerin's crap, I might say Mustafi's crap. They're still good footballers. They're not crap. They're not Arsenal level.
But deserve,
I think, is a bit of a loaded question, to be honest.
Carl, you want to add any on that, mate? Or you want to miss, give a miss?
Yeah, I agree. You know, you've got players out there that treat the shirt more like something on sale off Topshop. Other clothing stores are available, obviously. But they treat it more like a shirt on sale than they do for a prestigious club shirt. But, players like Oxlade-Chamberlain, they don't deserve to wear the shirt, to be honest. Mm. Like Tony said, it is a matter of wanting to play for the club more than anything else. If you don't want to play for the club, you're obviously not going to act interested on the pitch. It translates. So, as much as it is a loaded question, there are certain players I would single out. But as for the game, the whole team was disastrous yesterday. And in that instance, on the one day, none of them deserved to wear it. And a social media post from Mesut Ozil isn't going to clear this all up, is it?
No, well, just on that, I was just looking at the ratings that come out for the Liverpool-Arsenal game, and look, it's no big surprise. Sanchez, obviously, 6.6, Welbeck, a 6.3. Like they're saying, was he our best, I suppose. Bellerin with 4.8. Monreal, a 4.7. So there's nobody jumping out there at all to me. So that on you know, and that's just ratings online here that I was looking at. But I just think, as of yesterday's game, absolutely, what you say, Carl, nobody deserves to wear the jersey. And it was something going on. Something to me didn't sit right when you mentioned that they had a little blue in the dressing room at type, it made a little bit of sense to me, added up, but it was something that just wasn't right on that game. Whether we weren't prepared for Liverpool, I don't know what it exactly was. I just hope we get it sorted and get it sorted bloody quickly, lads. Okay, anyone want to add anything? We've lost Savvy, so he's dropped out online.
No, I'm here. I'm here. I'm back.
Sorry, mate. You want to add anything on any of that, Savvy, that was discussed, mate?
Yeah, I'll just say Yeah, we can't just comment after seeing a game that who deserves to wear the jersey and who doesn't deserve to be. But yeah, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, he doesn't look interested. And really, we need, as you said, something is going on there. And we really need to sort that out very quickly.
It's just, to me, just something's not sitting in the back of the dressing room. Something's not right. It just, to me, the team seems off. The players seem off. The tactics seem off. Everything seems bloody off. And I hope friggin' hell they fix it. Okay, boys, that'll wrap us up, I think. We've been, give us plenty today, 55 minutes. So you can follow us at @clockend_talk on Twitter. And like I say, myself and Tony run it. The boys, Savvy, Carl, and a couple of the other boys, you can see their articles at clockend.blog. Thank you once again for listening. Make sure you subscribe to Castbox. We also will be on iTunes shortly. Thanks, guys. See you all next week.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.